still come up with a budget that's about 22% of GDP. Just back under Bill Clinton, we were at 18% of GDP, and people were hardly dying in the streets back then.
When we talk about federal spending, there is a common refrain when I talk to conservatives about how the military needs to be on the table. They say, no, 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 go cut those entitlements. And it seems like that is a convenient foil because it's very hard to cut entitlements. Military spending is one of the things that, historically speaking, actually can be cut.
Well, that's right. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, we dramatically cut defense spending, which is interesting because you remember, you know, Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex, and everyone knows that the military lobbyists, the companies that make the fighter jets and the like, are some of the most powerful lobbies in Washington. And yet, because leaders in both parties in the early 90s wanted to cut defense spending, they were able to. They shrunk the size of the military. They dramatically cut their procurement budget. So we can cut spending, and Congress can cut spending whenever it wants. And so that is there is a good historical lesson there. It's really, you know, members of Congress, they can cut spending whenever they want, whether it's farm subsidies or entitlements. It's really just a matter of backbone and will. Recently, we've seen cuts in many other countries that have run into fiscal trouble, like France and Britain and Canada. There's no reason why we can't cut spending in this country.
Yeah, defense spending is about 21% of federal spending. You can't take a fifth of the budget off the table and then make a serious effort to reduce the deficit. You can't take defense off. You can't take entitlements off. There's no way to simply go in there and say, well, we're going to cut waste, fraud, and abuse and balance the budget. You've got to address it all. Discretionary spending has to be cut. Entitlements have to be cut. Defense has to be cut.
One of the points that Chris Preble makes with regard to military spending is that in order to effectively cut the military, you have to rethink largely the purpose of the military. I think that's definitely something that should be applied to all programs that exist within the government, is actually fundamentally think about what the actual purpose is, whether the government needs to be doing it at all.
Well, that's right. I mean, two of my grand sort of reform themes that members of Congress have to think about are, one, reviving federalism, getting the federal government out of activities that were traditionally state and local. And there are many examples, of course, of that. Education spending, we spend $60 billion a year federally for K-12 education. Well, we've seen that federal involvement in the local schools has not improved test scores. It's strangled local school systems with federal regulations. And here there's an interesting counterexample to the American experience. In Canada, there is no federal Department of Education. Their students get much higher test scores in their public schools. So we don't need a federal Department of Education. So we need to get the federal government out of these local activities. And secondly, we need to privatize and do more privatization. We can privatize the post office. Germany and the Netherlands have privatized their post office. We can privatize Amtrak. We can privatize air traffic control, just like Canada has. Let's get these activities off the federal budget books completely and put them in the private sector, where they will be run more efficiently and contribute to economic growth.
That's right. We should remember that many of these government programs actually do a positive harm. It's not just that they're unaffordable, and they are unaffordable, but they actually do harm. Government health care programs drive up the cost of health care for all of us and diminish quality. The Social Security system squeezes out private savings and leaves people poorer in retirement than they would be with private retirement programs. The welfare system leaves people dependent on government, diminishes the work effort, increases out-of-wedlock birth, does a host of social harms. So these are programs that we wouldn't want even if we could afford them. As I said earlier, we're currently on a path where the government's going to take 43% of our gross domestic product. Even if we could find a way to pay for it, would we really want that to be the case?
On Saturday Night Live, not too long ago, there was a character playing John Boehner who was appearing on the Rachel Maddow show, a phony Rachel Maddow show, and basically said, look, the people of America spoke very clearly on Election Day. They said, stop the spending, stop the tax hikes. And he was asked to clarify what spending he would cut. He said, well, unfortunately, the American people were not particularly clear on this point. And the Tea Party movement got a big win on Election Day. But it's just not clear what they, as a group, as a disparate group, want to cut. And in Congress now, Paul Ryan has been elevated. When Republicans take charge of the House, he will be a key figure in budgeting. But on the flip side of that, Hal Rogers, known to be the Prince of Pork from my home of Kentucky, will be head of the